Tom Watkins. He travels the globe lecturing and teaching about China and business, and he also was the former state superintendent for the state of Michigan. He's on the other end of our line. Tom, good morning.
Ni hao.
I know that you were following with great interest as China's vice president was in the States, and he had a meeting at the White House. Just what's your take on that, and what do you know?
Well, this is a coming out party for Vice President Xi. His name is spelled X-I, pronounced Xi. He will be the new leader of China. As we are selecting our new president this fall, China is selecting theirs. So while we elect, they select. Vice President Xi is a rising leader in China, and he will be the future because once installed, he will hold three prominent roles in China: head of the Communist Party, head of the military, and the president of China. And he will be there for 10 years. So this is an opportunity here in the United States, kind of a coming out party, for our leaders to get to know them. Vice President Biden was in China this last summer, a guest of Vice President Xi. So it's going to be an interesting dance as we develop this relationship with the new leader of China.
Tom, what do we know about Vice President Xi, and does his background give any indication how he will lead? Will he be similar or a little bit different than other leaders in China?
Well, this is really going to unfold after a time, but he is referred to as a princeling in China. His father was a contemporary of Mao Zedong, and he suffered in 1962. His father had a falling out with Mao and ended up spending about 16 years in prison, a number of which were in solitary confinement. Vice President Xi suffered during the Cultural Revolution, was sent to the countryside. So he has an understanding of the country, as well as he rose later. He ran some of the prosperous provinces in China. Also, his dad, the vice president's dad, the new leader of China's dad, was restored by Deng Xiaoping, who opened China to the world, and in fact oversaw the first and most prosperous Shenzhen, one of the first cities that opened up to the world. So he has a unique background and came of age during the Tiananmen Square incident. So it'll be fascinating to see how he balances maintaining control in China, to continue opening up and economic development, and whether he will be a reformer like his father was.
Tom recently wrote a piece for the MichiganView.com, which was also printed in the Detroit News. And Tom, you talk about Band-Aids will not plug the gaping holes in Detroit or Wayne County government. Now, I know that the Wayne County county executive has been proactive in reforms, but only because he's been in hot water about some of his hiring practices as well as some of his management practices.
Well, look, if you take a look at what has happened at the state level and at the domestic auto industry, we understand that minor tweaks and changes aren't going to get the job done. We need major restructuring and reform at all levels. We cannot pretend as though nothing has changed when, in fact, everything has changed. The population of Detroit is shrunk rapidly, the same in Wayne County. We have too much government and not enough resources in order to manage this. And so just dealing with the minor tweaks and putting Band-Aids on a big gaping hole isn't going to solve the problem. And what I've recommended is a discussion like we did. I was an elected member of the Wayne County Charter Commission to reform Wayne County government a number of decades ago, three decades ago now. Perhaps it's time for reform 2.0. Grand Rapids had looked at bringing about a city-county form of government, a way to shrink it and better manage the resources. And what I propose in this piece is we think big, we think bold, we think about the new three R's: restructure, reform, and reinventing government up and down the line.
Yeah, the city of Louisville, which is a pretty good-sized city, has done that with Jefferson County. You write that the Wayne County severance scandals pop up like a whack-a-mole game. I'm not sure folks are clear on how much money went out in those severance payments, including one to the head, or the, I should say, former head of the airport.
Yeah, there's a significant amount of resources that gone. But look, we deserve quality government, we deserve ethical government, and we deserve efficient government. We need to continue to look at ways to modify, change, and to make ourselves competitive on the world stage. As we started off talking about China and recently returned, let me assure you, they're not slowing down in China, waiting for Detroit, Wayne County, the state of Michigan, or America to get attacked together. They're moving forward boldly, and we should be just as bold here in the state of Michigan, which I believe Governor Snyder has been, but we need that at all levels. You know, there's a big story in today's Detroit News saying 48 of our school districts are in deficit situation. This is not something that people didn't know about. It's a failure to lead and a failure to act that brings on these problems. We need to lead, and we need to act boldly.
All right, Tom, final question for you. I'm someone who grew up in the Detroit area. I've been watching this. It seems like this culture for corruption may have had a genesis with former mayor and the deceased Coleman Young. I know that from many perspectives, he did a lot of good things, but it's thought that he was at the core of this culture. And then a lot of folks thought that that had changed with Dennis Archer, and he left that position after some time because on this program he had stated it was just too much for he and his family to endure a second term. And then we had Kwame Kilpatrick, and now we have Dave Bing. How do you erase this 30, 40-year culture?
Well, look, Dave Bing is a good man. Dennis Archer is a good man and did some good things in it. But the problem is we've basically have been pretending and spending for generations in the city and in the state. If you have a hole in your roof, you got to get up there and actually fix it. You can't just pretend to fix the hole if you're going to keep the rain out. And today, because of the failure to lead and to act, that goes back generations, I mean decades. We are facing up to a $20 billion structural deficit in the city of Detroit. That needs to be addressed, and there's minor areas taking place, but it's going to require major surgery, not just the Band-Aids and the tweaks that are currently being put on. The stem, keeping the emergency manager at bay. It's going to require long-term structural, painful changes in the way we do business. Because at the end of the day, the only way to balance the budget is to increase revenue, and there's no way that that's going to happen to raise taxes in the city. Decrease expenditures by being more efficient, effective in how you deliver it, or a combination of both. That's what's going to be required. And some major changes in the way business is conducted at all levels of government.
Tom Watkins has more than 30 years' experience in the public and private sectors leading reform efforts. He's the 2011 recipient of the Detroit Regional Chamber's Leadership Detroit Lifetime Achievement Award. Tom, as always, thanks so much.
It's good to be with you. And check out Dome Magazine if you want to learn about more about the Chinese leader, Vice President Xi.